Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Daniel chapter 11. We'll focus in on verse 31 in just a moment, Daniel 11, verse 31. And it may help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Like Daniel. Tune into God's preview of coming attractions. I've been engaged in a series I've called Heroes, God's Heroes. See God's Hero so you can be God's Hero. And today we complete our study of Daniel. I sometimes get amused at the news because there are people who write in the news and they purport that science and technology is our coming savior. I don't buy it. I heard a funny story about the projection of what's coming. You know, there are self-driving cars. My son-in-law the other day drove from Lexington to Indianapolis in a self-driving car, and the car was programmed, it just drove. Kind of amazing. They say there are self-driving airplanes coming. So here it was, the first flight of a self-guided airplane. The people came in, they sat down. The announcer came on the loudspeaker and said, "Welcome to the first self-guided airplane flight. It is operated by the most sophisticated computers on planet Earth. From takeoff in New York to touchdown in Chicago, there will be no pilot. But do not worry, the system is 100% reliable. So sit back and enjoy your flight. And enjoy your flight. And enjoy your flight. And enjoy your flight." I think I'd be getting off about that time. You see, our Savior is not science, our Savior is not technology, but we have a coming Savior. Friend, and we're going to look at Daniel's picture of coming attractions. Do you ever go to the movies and get your popcorn, and then what do they play before the movie comes on? They play previews of coming attractions. They are tantalizing tidbits of a movie to draw you back in. And that's what we're going to see here, a tantalizing tidbit of what is coming. Because science and technology is not our Savior. Oh, friend, we've got a King of Kings, and He's coming back for His people. And we're going to encounter that great truth today. Let me remind you again, if you'll fill in the first blank, that prophecy's objective is revealing Jesus. You see, prophecy, of course, is to foretell the future to some degree. It's to foretell God's truth. But the ultimate objective of prophecy in the Scripture is this simple. Prophecy is all about revealing the person and the purpose of Jesus Christ. This is demonstrated throughout the Bible and particularly comes into clear focus in the book of Daniel. For instance, in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had this mysterious vision of a statue, and Daniel saw it also, and Daniel interpreted what it meant. Do you remember? He saw the head of gold, the body of silver, the legs were of iron, the feet were of clay, and suddenly, appearing from a mountain came a flying stone. It hit the statue and crushed it to dust. And that stone was the kingdom of God. That stone, Jesus said, is the cornerstone. It was Himself. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and all of a sudden, a fourth person shows up. Who is that fourth person? Well, that's Jesus, the fourth man in the furnace, the Savior. We saw last week in Daniel chapter 10, verse 6, this amazing portrait of the resplendent Jesus, very similar to what the disciples saw on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, Jesus in His heavenly celestial garments. It was a picture of Revelation chapter 1, and there we see the resplendent Christ. it's very much similar to the depiction that we have in our centerpiece stained glass window, where Jesus is the reigning, ruling, resurrected, and returning Christ. He is coming on the clouds, surrounded by His angels, and every eye will see Him. Daniel got a glimpse of it. And now today, we come again to the book of Daniel, and I want to show you in this last section several prophetic photos that have to do with the culmination of human history. And if you'll look at these four features of God's final forecast, I believe if you'll understand them and then apply them, it could impact the way the rest of your life will unfold. Let's start with number one. Please make this note. Number one, the terrible terminated Antichrist. The terrible terminated Antichrist. And we meet him here in Daniel 11. Go to verse 31. In verse 31 of Daniel 11, listen to these powerful prophetic words. And forces from him will arise and desecrate the sanctuary and do away with the regular sacrifice. And they will set up the abomination of desolation. Now, let me pause there to remind you of what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, "When will the end of time come?" And Jesus gives them a checklist. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. He said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. He says that in Matthew 24, verse 14. That's why we take so seriously our task to go and tell everybody about Jesus, because everybody counts. And Jesus said, share the gospel with everybody. But in Matthew 24, verse 15, listen to what Jesus says. He says, you need to decode what it says in the book of Daniel. Because in the book of Daniel, there's the projection of a time when worship will be desecrated and replaced with an abomination of desolation. So let's go to the next verse. Verse 32. So this one, this Antichrist who sets up false worship, the abomination of desolation, he will speak with smooth words. He will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Look at verse 36. Then the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and he will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. He will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. Let's pray for a moment. Dear Father, we come very intentionally into your presence to understand not only the truth of the book of Daniel, but to see a preview of what's coming. Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way and allow your people to have open, receptive hearts so that your Spirit could deposit your transforming truth into everyone who will receive it. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me break it down very simply. Who is this Antichrist that is coming? There's been a lot of speculation throughout history. There were people in past centuries who said, this has got to be Caesar, because Caesar thinks he's a god and he is king of the world. Of course, during World War II, every pastor was thinking, every prophet was thinking that it's got to be Adolf Hitler. Who could be more heinous? Who could be more evil than Hitler? And yet, it didn't turn out that he's the Antichrist. I read one crazy article years ago that said, the Antichrist is Ronald Wilson Reagan. Yeah, that's a pretty outlandish idea. But some questionable person took the numbers of Ronald Wilson Reagan's name and arranged them in such a way that they turned out to be 666. Well, I don't think President Reagan turned out to be the Antichrist. But here's my point. You can come up with a lot of crazy speculations about who the Antichrist is, but let me break it down into these categories. Time, temperament, and his termination. When will the Antichrist come? Well, we know it will be at the end of history. And somehow, lurking around at the edge of the stage of history, we have this sinister figure who is called the Antichrist. Now, if you ever read the book Left Behind or saw the movie Left Behind, it was by Tim LaHaye. and Jerry Jenkins, they masterfully create a character who is the Antichrist called Nikolai Carpathia. And this man arises in turbulent times in world history, and he appears to be a gracious person. He appears to be a savior. He is peace-loving. He is a genius in politics. He's a genius in economics. He's a genius militarily, and he is coming to save the world. But his character has been forged in the very fires of hell. This man is the incarnation of evil. Do you remember Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, there's a thief out there who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and the Antichrist will be very adept at doing all three, killing, stealing, and destroying. So this is Satan incarnate, a vicious destroyer. Now, his termination, if you would, look at the scripture on your worksheet. Revelation 19:20 makes this declaration, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf, and the two were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now here's what I want you to understand. In the end, Jesus wins. You can bank that. You can bet the farm on it. You can bet your soul and eternity on it. In the end, Jesus wins. The devil is a vanquished foe. Now, have you ever had this experience? Have you ever had the devil kind of whisper into the back of your consciousness and remind you of all the things you've done wrong in your past? Well, next time the devil tells you about your past, why don't you tell him about his future? Because I tell you what his future looks like, it is very dim. It is dark because he will be terminated. Let me give you a practical application. If you want a practical application, look at 1 John 2, verse 18 on your worksheet. There the scripture says, dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Now, there will be a singular historical Antichrist who will lead the world as a coalition against the things of God. But evidently, there's the spirit of the Antichrist. Many Antichrists have come. What does that mean? Well, you see, an Antichrist is just anything counter to the spirit of Jesus. Now, the spirit of Jesus, in essence, is love, purity, and serving. So anything that is counter or opposite or anti-love, purity, and serving, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. And frankly, friends, we have the capacity to engage in the Antichrist spirit. Instead of being loving, if you're hateful and vindictive, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Instead of being a person of purity and integrity, if you are a person of hypocrisy, duplicity, you lack integrity. Instead of being pure, you're polluted. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Instead of being serving, if you become selfish and narcissistic, and you think the world revolves around you and you deserve not only your share but somebody else's, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. So don't just categorize the Antichrist as some faraway, evil, sinister character. Know that you have the capacity every time you act counter to the spirit of Jesus of acting in the flavor of the Antichrist. Come with me to the second feature. The second feature of this final forecast is found in Daniel 12:1. Please make this note, the eternal book of life. The eternal book of life is mentioned here. It says in Daniel 12:1, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never has occurred since there was a nation until that time is completed. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Now, that introduces us to a very biblical concept. The biblical concept is found in the scripture that God has a special book. It's called the Book of Life. As a matter of fact, Jesus referred to it on your worksheet in Luke 10, verse 20. He sent out the 70, and they saw God do great things. And when they came back bringing their report, listen to what Jesus said. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Again, let me refer to the Jesus window. At the top of the Jesus window, you see the depiction of the Lamb, and the Lamb is resting on a book. What is that book? That's the Book of Life. And it is sealed with seven seals. It's given to us in the book of Revelation. That is the book of life. And my friends, I'm here to tell you, you want to be in the book of life. You want your name written on God's list. Now, there are a lot of lists in this world, aren't there? Oh, there's the list of the honor roll when you're a kid. Who doesn't want to be on the all-A honor roll? I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it said, "Your child is on the honor roll. My child just made parole." Okay. Well, I'm not sure what kind of parent that was, but I'm telling you, they had a pretty good sense of humor. I don't know which list you're on, honor roll or the parole list. Maybe you're on the who's who or the who's through. Maybe you're the Hall of Famer. I don't know where you are, but here's one list you want to be sure to make. You want to make the list of the Lamb's Book of Life, because the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the ultimate list. Now, let me show you this other scripture in Revelation 20, verse 15. This opposite truth comes into view here. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. You see, we have this clear picture that there is a real heaven and that there is a real hell. Now, I am obligated to tell you that just because your name is on the church membership list, that doesn't assure that you're on God's list in the Lamb's Book of Life. I would nominate as the most frightening scripture in the Bible, Matthew 7, verse 21. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say? He said, "Not everyone who says to me in the end, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father." Now, that is a stunning, a sobering, and attention-getting scripture said by Jesus. So what does it mean? I believe it's this simple. There's a lot of difference between religion and relationship. Jesus, he dealt with a lot of people who had a big dose of religion, but they didn't have a relationship to God. I've heard it said like this: some people will be missing heaven by 18 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. Oh, you can have religion and you can be straight as a gun barrel, but just as empty spiritually. So you want to be sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that connects you to Him and puts your name on God's ultimate list. Well, let's look at the third feature. You see, your existence continues in joy or in judgment. Your existence will continue in joy or judgment, and that's given to us in verse 2 of Daniel 12. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt or punishment. You see, your existence will continue in joy or in judgment. Now, there are a lot of theories about what happens when people die. I've been to India 6 times. I'm very familiar with Hinduism. The essence of Hinduism is reincarnation. They say when a person dies, you recycle. You get to try it again. You go up higher or lower. But there is no validation of that in the scripture. There are some people who, instead of reincarnation, they talk about annihilation. After you die, that's it. You just go back to component parts. There's no spirit. There's nothing left. You're just annihilated like you never existed. But that's not what the scripture says. As a matter of fact, the heartbeat of the life of Jesus was resurrection. You see, Jesus was resurrected. He broke the backbone of death on Easter Sunday. That's the heart of the gospel, and that's the great and blessed hope of the Christian, is resurrection. But the Bible says there will be two types of resurrection. Everybody who's ever lived is a living soul. The Bible says in Genesis 1, a nefesh kaya. That's what makes you created in the image of God. And you have the capacity to connect to God, but He doesn't force you. You can reject Him. So the scripture says you will live for eternity, either connected to God in heaven, enjoying His blessings for eternity, or separated from God because you've rejected Him. There are two realities, heaven and hell. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 9, please look again to your worksheet, man is destined to die once, but then comes the judgment. We've been having the judgment house. And people have been coming to the judgment house. As a matter of fact, about 2,500 people have come so far. And do you know why we call it the judgment house? It's based on Hebrews 9. It is appointed for man once to die, and then comes the judgment. My friends, that's the ultimate reality. I always think about that movie, Cool Hand Luke. Oh, I love that movie when I saw it as a teenager. Paul Newman was Cool Hand Luke, and he made the classic statement. He said, ain't nobody gets out of life alive, not man, nor dog, nor nobody. And that's the great truth, friend. One day, I'll have my last car ride, I'll eat my last meal, my heart will have its last beat, and then it's over. And what happens next? The Bible declares that just because this physical body stops, our spirit goes on. And it will go on in one of two realities, connected with the Lord for eternity in heaven, or disconnected from God, the source of life, in a place of darkness and torment, a place of immense regret. It's called hell. And whatever it takes, you want to miss that. The Bible makes a declaration here. And Jesus was speaking in Matthew 25. He said, look on your worksheet in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Matthew 13, He called it the wheat from the weeds. There's going to be a separation, and it will be for eternity. So it's imperative that you understand this, and how do you apply it? Well, it's very simple. Jesus told a man, a religious man who didn't have a relationship to God, named Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, you got to be born again. Because here's the simple, great truth. If you are born twice, you're going to die once. But if you're born once, you're going to die twice. And that second death is an eternal death disconnected from God, your Creator. So please check your heart and be sure that you are connected to Jesus, because we come now to the last feature, and it's in Daniel 12, verse 3. The future forecast says that the real stars shine for Jesus. The real stars shine for Jesus. The scripture says in Daniel 12, verse 3, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness will be like stars forever and ever. You know, in our culture, we like stars, don't we? You go to the cover of a magazine, like People Magazine, and you find movie stars, sports stars, rock stars, business stars, political stars. We have a lot of stars. I read this one article the other day about a famous star. I won't call her name, but she just spent $380,000 on plastic surgery. I thought she looked pretty good before, but man, does she really look zippy now. You know, my favorite form of plastic surgery is when you cut up an overused credit card. That's my favorite form of plastic surgery. But the stars, you know what they're focused on? Their exterior. But the stars of God are focused on their interior. It's when they want to be reshaped into the image of Christ. You see, that's what a real star is. Look on your worksheet. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine as stars in the universe. You see, that's the goal of God. He wants you to be His bright and shining star, like a communication satellite. He wants you to do what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, that's what God desires of you in these dark days. Don't whine. Shine. And shine a bright light on the Savior. Well, here's the bottom line. What's your response to these truths about the forecast of the future? Well, it's this simple. Be ready. Be ready. In Daniel, last part of it, he said, Lord, these prophecies are hard. I don't quite understand them. And the Lord simply said, Daniel, you've received them. You will be rewarded, and be ready. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 24. He just said, keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord will come. In other words, be ready. And that's my bottom line word to you. January the 28th, 1986, was a famous day in American history. I remember precisely where I was that day. January 28, 1986, I was driving from the First Baptist Church of Alexandria, Virginia, across the Potomac River to a meeting with the Billy Graham team, because we were going to host a Billy Graham crusade, I had NPR on. I was listening to the Challenger's launch in Florida. And if you were listening to the Challenger launch, I bet you know where you were. Because on that fateful day when that rocket took off, after 73 seconds, the entire world was shocked. Because those seven astronauts who were the best and the brightest, all in their 40s, all with so much ability and life in front of them, that Challenger exploded. They didn't have that on their calendar. That was not predicted. All because a simple O-ring failed in freezing temperatures. You see, science and technology is not our savior. As a matter of fact, science and technology became their decimator. And all of those astronauts died. Now, the reason I tell you that is because you don't know. Not one person here can guarantee that you will see the sun go down or the sun arrives tomorrow. That's why it's imperative that you are ready. And being ready means that you follow Christ and you become His bright and shining light in this dark world. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to understand the final forecast. We'll either close our eyes in death or we'll see you coming in the sky and we'll welcome you as the King of Kings. But Lord, right now we want to make a promise that we will prepare ourselves and we will be ready to meet you. And in the meantime, we promise to shine our light for you. Father, help us to start that right now, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.